Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, where we talk about topics related to fundraising, leadership, management, and coaching for professionals in the nonprofit world. My name is David Langiuli.
And I am Margaret Katz-Kahn. And we're doing something a little different this week. David and I decided, you'll notice, no extra guest. We decided that we had a topic that we just really wanted to talk about, something near and dear to both of our hearts, and that is how coaching skills can totally boost fundraisers and how they show up.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's been a long-time dream of mine, like since I got into the coach training that we both have been through, Margaret. I was leading a fundraising team at Princeton. I think you were still at the Community Foundation of Boulder, also leading a fundraising team when you went through your coach training. And as I was going through the workshops, the weekend workshops, and you know, the experiential training that we both went through at different times, it became so clear to me that these coaching skills that we were learning to integrate into our management style were also brilliant, fundraiser tools.
Yeah. Yes, totally. And they help, I think the biggest dread that people have around fundraising is that, you know, that their meeting is going to go off track and they're not going to know what to do, you know, that they're going to go in there prepared. And then the donor's going to have a question that they don't know the answer to, or their donor's not going to be interested. And they, you know, and they're going to be, you know, panicking everywhere, red lights going off. Yeah.
Right.
And the coaching skills are 100% can fix so much of that.
Oh my God. I saw, you know, when I was doing frontline fundraising, when I led a fundraising team, as I went to conferences, I sat in meetings of talking. I mean, this is all that people would ever talk about is like preparation. It was like, I need some preparation H just talking about all this preparation.
Right. You're working on a slide deck for lunch. It's possible you're over preparing.
Oh my God. And we're not saying don't be prepared. It's kind of like holding it lightly. Yeah. We're going to talk about some ways that you can, and we wrote about it together. We sort of co-authored an article on the blog site, which you guys can read. Like three ways that you can be a little less prepared and yet still have amazing conversations with donors.
Yeah.
So what's the first way?
Yeah. And I think so much of it, you know, just has to do with trusting yourself to be present and, you know, be able. So the first thing that we talked about was different levels of listening.
Right.
And and those are a great skill. Because you know things when you listen at all three levels about how a meeting is going. It's an incredible source of information.
Right. So, yes, I like that we brought this forward in the article. And let's just talk about it a little bit here. Because actually, Michelle and I, our other partner, are going to be training some deans of engineering schools
in a couple skills.
Yeah, in these listening skills. So, you know, it's pretty familiar to fundraisers. Now, the one type of listening that we talk about is what we call level two. I'll start with the level two.
Okay.
Because this is what, you know, fundraisers really do learn about if they have any mentoring. The focus is on the donor and the words.
Yeah.
And you're listening, you're just listening intently. Janice likes to talk about it as, and we've written about it elsewhere, like two lovers in a cafe.
Where you're just paying so much attention. Yeah. hanging on every word.
Hanging on every word.
Yeah.
But then there's like a level one.
Yeah.
And
we all know level one.
level one is, does she like me? Does she not like me? Is my lipstick on?
Right. Do I have food in my teeth? Do I have a poppy seed piece still of left spinach? Over from breakfast?
Yeah. Is my breath bad or is it smell good? Right. Am I fat or am I skinny? do I like this guy or do I not like this guy?
Yeah. Is my mother going to like this guy? Yeah. Those
yeah. Are the level one, like it's in another context, it's sometimes we refer to it as like the always, always be listening. It's the yakety yakety yak that's always yeah. going on in your head.
Yeah. My favorite version of level one is when, you know, when you hear somebody's story and you can barely make it to the end of their story because you want to, you know, bust in and like, wait, no, I have a story too. I have a story too.
Stop talking about me, Margaret. You're talking about me. Stop talking about my level one.
All right. Well, so here's what's true. We all spend time at level one, right? And it's yeah. like, I'm not going to throw it under the bus, but it's not your best place to be when you're trying.
Well, it's helpful, can be helpful. It's sort of like listening about what you already know or assumptions you're making or judgments that you're making about the other person or about the circumstance or about yourself.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So what do we know about level three? That's where the gold lives. So, right.
That's where Ralph Cramden has reached the highest plateau. I'm on a Ralph Cramden.
I see. Yeah, you really are.
I am. I'm on a honeymooners kick. That's one of my favorite episodes.
All right. Tell us about the episode.
Oh my God. Is he goes on like a game show called like the $66,000 question. You guys will have to just YouTube that. And it's so, and that episode is one of the funniest episodes ever of the Honeymooners. You guys just got to go check it out.
All right.
But to reach that level three or the $66,000 of the pyramid, right,
the top of the pyramid,
there's a shift that has to happen. It's sort of like a meta listening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So why don't you say more about it? Since masterful at it.
Well, thank you. Well, we learn in coaching, you know, and we've heard the statistic, right? That 80% maybe of communication is nonverbal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, level three lives in the 80%, and it's teaching yourself to pay attention to what's somebody's facial expression and what's their posture of their body and what's the tone of their voice. And most of us actually have, like, we're better at this than we think without maybe having named it. Like, I think most of us, let's say, like, back when we used to walk into restaurants and you'd walk past, remember that couple that was having a good date a minute ago and then they're in a fight? And you know how when you walk past a couple at a table that's been fighting, like, you know, right, even if they're not yelling at each other, you're like, whoo,
right?
They're having a bad night. It's that. It's just sort of paying attention to, like, what's lingering around.
Right. Well, people. I want to add to that, because certainly there are visual cues which are sort of in the level 2-3. I would say somewhere in between
those two and a half.
Yeah, 2.5.
Yeah,
level listening 2.5. We could do a whole thing on that.
Okay, that's our next podcast.
Yeah. That's our next podcast. Level listening 2.5. What I was thinking about is when you walk into a restaurant and you and I have done an assessment that Judy Orloff put out in the world on like people who are sensitive or empathic. And it's an empathic type of listening. And we all have different sort of capacities in this regard, but we all have a capacity for it. So when you walk into a restaurant, like there are places that I walk into that I have to turn around and walk out of because the energy level, it is something like that is just not right. If the vibe isn't right for me. And I've become more aware. We started the podcast with awareness,
right?
You know, being aware of energy levels at places.
Yeah. And I think this skill, the reason that we are talking about it, I mean, it's a great skill all around if one uses it well, but for fundraisers, this is sort of your, there's a name for the little thing on a sailing mast, like which way the wind is blowing. It's, you know, you know how you're doing with your donor, right? If you pay attention, right?
Right. I mean,
if you can get into the level three, you know if a shift is required.
So riddle me this, Batman. Is there any preparation that you can do to be aware of the level three? Like to prepare in advance?
I think you can practice. I'm not sure you can prepare in the hour before you're, you know, I don't think you can cram on this
one. You can't cram it. No, it was a rhetorical question.
Yes. But I think, again, you know, we spend a lot of time, right? Like now, because we're not doing as many live things on the phone, and you can know things if you sort of listen. You can practice this skill as totally. Much as possible. Yeah.
Right. And I don't know if we mentioned this in the article, but one way we were taught to practice, and it was super helpful for me because my intuitive listening had really atrophied over the years of all my conditioning. We all get left brain conditioning from the industrial educational complex.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But in the coach training that we do and we were part of, we were encouraged to blurt things out.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
When we have a sensation, like we sense something. It's a good way of explaining it, like sensing it.
Right, when you sense something. I love that language. Yeah. I think that's
and then you just, like even with a donor, see, this is the part where you have to let go of the preparation and just be with a donor.
Yeah, to be able to say something like, you're totally not interested in this, are you? You know, to just name.
Right, you name it.
You name it, yeah.
Right.
Like, I've lost you. I can see I've lost you. Like, let's regroup.
Yeah. And not be attached to the response.
Yeah.
The donor may say, no, I am interested in it. I just got distracted. My, you know.
Right.
So, and be willing to dance with the response. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. We wrote about it in the article, right? It's like, there's a way of blurting without being attached. There's just more information in this space.
Yeah. You've heard good public speakers, right? People who, I think all of us, when we listen to somebody who's a great speaker, they will stop and name, you know, what they're sensing in the space. And sometimes that looks like, okay, I can see that you all are gone or napping or, right? Sometimes with some humor.
Yeah. But, yeah. One of my favorite public speakers is Eckhart Tolle.
Okay. And
he tells a story, I think in New Earth Awakening or The Power of Now, I can't remember. He tells a story about his first speaking engagement. He was invited to the Theosophical Society in London,
okay.
You know, and to come speak, because I guess he was, you know, he was getting some recognition already. And so he prepared like just a few notes on a piece of paper, prepared.
Uh-huh. Right.
So he gets up there and he starts talking and he starts looking down at his notes and his mind just stopped.
Hmm.
He totally froze.
Yeah.
And from that day forward, and if you ever listen to any of his stuff, he never prepares a single note.
Yeah.
And it just flows.
The visual that I have, you know, like from a movie, the speaker, it's the most important speech and it's the high arc of the movie and they're holding their cue cards and they start shuffling through and then they just throw them in the air.
Yeah.
That's what this skill is about. It's about taking your little index cards and throwing them away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then we wrote in the article about something we already started to talk about is like when you blurt something out and a donor responds to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how do you hold that donor in that moment?
Yeah. And this is a pillar of the coaching style that David and I do, as well as our other teammates. And it's that all people are naturally creative, resourceful, and whole. And I know it does not seem that way all the time with all the people, but they are. It's not our job to fix people. It's not even our job to try to talk people into things, right? It's to trust them.
I remember, I'm going to not name any names here, but I remember very distinctly having a conversation with a fundraiser who was working with a multi-billion dollar donor. And this donor had just committed $10 million to a project. And this fundraiser was fucking pissed. Oh, sorry. Don't judge me over that, guys. Sorry. I was so like, I was, are you kidding me? Like, he just committed $10 million. And he was judging him, and it was like, guy's so stingy. And
that's a lot of judgment.
Yeah. But that's not holding the donor whole and complete.
Yeah.
That's judging the donor.
Yeah. One of the amazing perspectives for me working at the Community Foundation, and when I left, maybe we had 350 donor advised funds. And you know, that meant I got to see the philanthropy of 350 people. And the perspective is this beautiful, like, people get lit up by whatever they get lit up by, you know, and it's all different. And, you know, there are people who love the symphony, and there are people who love international, and just welcoming our donors to love what they love and be lit up by what they're lit up by is a beautiful stake for a relationship.
Yeah. You know, I would say also that, you know, we did talk about preparation, and certainly you, if you're on the front lines of fundraising, you have projects that you're raising money for. And it's perfectly acceptable and advisable to have conversations with donors about those projects. It's just that they may not be interested in those things. And you can still hold them whole and complete, like, oh, great, you're not interested in these things. What are you interested in?
Yeah, yeah. What are you interested in? Great question. And one of the things that we wrote about is, I think a lot of dread comes from not trusting other people to say no. I think, right? Like, if we don't trust our donors to say no when no is the right answer, we get really tangled.
Yeah.
People carry a lot of energy about that.
Yeah. I had a boss when I was in a startup out in San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
He used to say, let's see if I can paraphrase his, remember what he used to say. He said, yeses make me money, noes save me money, and maybes cost me money.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's a big yes part of trusting your donor to be naturally creative, resourceful, and whole is, like, yeah, if somebody says no, awesome, move on.
Right.
Right.
Or they say no, it's like, okay, that's good to know. It saves me time now. We can move on to other things. Right. Yeah.
And what is, not everybody is great with their no's, but it's not our job as fundraisers to teach them. that's on them. Right.
Yes. Yes. Not everyone is gracious in their no.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the other thing, you know, we were, before we got on the podcast, we talked about a book that we both read called The Four Agreements.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those agreements is
don't take anything personally.
Personally. Easier to say than actually to do.
Yeah.
But definitely growing as a fundraiser, even when you think you had it all figured out and you knew that you're the right fit and you still get to know, it's not about you.
Yeah. Sorry. I've got some crazy noise in the background. Sorry. I got a little distracted there. Yeah.
Yeah. So what was our third skill that we talked about in the article?
Our third skill, we've been dancing around it, actually.
Yeah. We've dancing brought it up with a couple it. Times
we
here.
We brought it up. Yes. We call it dancing in the moment. Like, being agile and nimble is better than being stiff and scripted.
Yeah. And this is so related to, you know, sort of the listening. But this is what you do when you listen and you realize that you're not connecting with somebody, when you realize that you're not talking about the right things. You know, maybe you got too into metrics and this person is really a heart person and they want to hear stories. They don't want to hear numbers, or, you know, it's, you've listened to the point to know you have information and feedback, and now dancing in the moment is awesome. What do I do with it? How do I find a different dance step?
Yeah, it's the metaphor that's coming up for me is actually dancing. And
oddly enough.
Oddly enough. And I know I haven't been dancing with my wife in a while, but we used to go out dancing quite a bit and, you know, in a loose form dancing, but there's always some leading and following going on. And we, in our leadership work that we did, again, at different times, there is actually a dance night where you dance with each other as part of your leadership development. And there's times when you are leading and there's times when you are following. And then there's times like you're in transition between those phases. And that's like a conversation with a donor.
Yeah, absolutely. So true. Love that. Right. And sometimes you're moving forwards and sometimes you're moving backwards.
Exactly. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're jumping up and down for joy and sometimes you're just sitting there quietly listening.
Yeah. And there's a lot of trust in this skill too. You know, it's trusting that a conversation will unfold in the only way that it can.
Right.
You know, and it will lead to wherever it leads.
Right.
Yeah,
there's a way of listening at the level three. Like, so sometimes this can be messy and awkward. It just is, just like dancing with, like you meet a partner, somebody asks you to come dance. You're out at a club and somebody asks you to dance. And it's the first time you're dancing with each other. And it's a little awkward at first, you know, cause you don't know each other's moves. And,
right. You're going to step on somebody's toes for sure.
Step on those toes. Yeah. You're in level one. Like, okay, am I doing it right? You know, then that level one listening comes in and that guy really moves. And I don't think I can keep up with him, you know, and all that. Right.
Oh, that is right. Like sometimes we're intimidated by our donors. By our dance partner.
And like you may have had a great plan for the meeting.
Almost and certainly. Next it was thing on those index cards.
And let's just say you listen to this and you still throw out the index cards, except your left brain has all those index cards indexed.
Still filed, yes.
Yeah, still filed. But now the donor says, my wife has cancer. Like while you're having coffee.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So, well, let me tell you about this project that we're working on. Like, and that could happen.
Yeah.
Or you like get so caught up in your level one, like, oh my God, you know, my wife had cancer too. And, you know, that's level one.
Right. Yeah.
Or instead of maybe a question from level three would be, wow, what would help right now? Like, I'm here for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I mean, I've heard stories for sure with some of the executive directors that I work with that they've been making calls during COVID and they've happened upon a donor who's just had a death, a COVID related death, somebody close to them. And so I don't think that this is an abstraction. I think in the last year, many people have, you know, called, how are you? And the conversation has immediately shifted into hard space.
Yeah. Well, I like what you said. Did you say heart or hard space?
I said hard, but I think both are applicable.
I like
heart space.
Heart space. Yeah. Because as soon as you hear something like that unexpectedly, not on the index card, you go to heart space. And it can be a hard space.
Right.
To go to heart space. It can be hard. For some people.
Yeah.
And but that's when the dance comes in.
Yes. And so many fundraisers actually are so good in heart space, right? So much compassion and such sweet listening and all of those things.
Yeah.
So part of it is just believing that there's a place for that
in
your fundraising.
And I like what you're saying here because so many fundraisers are more naturally, I'll say it that way, compassionate. They are drawn to the work. I was drawn to the work because of, I saw the possibility of intimate relationships with people and even more drawn to the coaching work that we do now, which is more intimate than I ever found fundraising. But their intimacy lives in fundraising conversations.
Yeah.
And for those, I think we've got something for folks who want to dive deeper into this, right? I mean, we're going to put something in the show notes around our Coaching Essentials course.
Yeah, I think that's a great way for people to brush up a little on some of these skills. And we also like to send our listeners away with something to try. Mm-hmm. And my challenge to our listeners this week is begin to notice what's in that level three. You know, when you walk into a room or when you are on a phone call, see what you can know about a situation, about a person, about a conversation that's not contained in the words, you know, and just begin to notice and name that for yourself. I think, you know, many of us are much better at this than we think.
And I'll amp up your challenge one, not just name it in your head, but actually blurt it out in the meeting.
Okay, great.
Yeah, that's the practice. Not only notice it, but name it and actually let a word come out of your mouth.
Yeah. Have you ever walked into a room and said, wow, it's really tense in here or something like that?
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, just do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
See what happens.
Doing the blurt.
Yeah. Do the blurt. Yeah. Yeah, do the blurt. That could be like
which
a dance.
Which is a new kind of dance, right?
New kind of dance. Do the blurt. All right. Oh, that's good. We're gonna we could do a whole rap song around the blurt because rapping is about blurting.
yes, it is.
All right, Margaret. Well, what a fun conversation. We actually did not prepare at all for this, guys, in case you didn't notice.
Not scripted. No index cards.
We did have a framework from which we knew we were going to talk about. So you just got an experience of what one of these conversations might look like.
Of what dancing in the moment might look like.
Yeah. And with that, though, I will now read from a script. This podcast is brought to you by Fundraising Leadership. We provide unique coaching and training programs that powerfully transform how you work in order to get results. Please just subscribe if you haven't already done so. You can find us on iTunes and Google Podcasts and Amazon Music Podcasts and Spotify. And if you're enjoying the show, please rate and review so others can find us. Now, go put it into practice.